Our gospel message this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit because Jesus had not yet been glorified. May God be in our hearing of all these words that have been shared this morning, and help us to incorporate them in our heart and our lives. Pentecost. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Pentecost. The Spirit with us. Jesus had promised his family and friends that the Spirit would come to them after his death and resurrection. And this is what the Jews gathered in Jerusalem in the plaza on that day experienced. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Pentecost. The wisdom and power and glory of God with us. Here and now, in this time and place. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. May the Spirit touch us and fill us and connect us and comfort us and guide us this very morning. May we be given new vision and new energy as we worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. So the Bible describes the Holy Spirit with active image events that people then and now recognize and relate to from our experience with the natural world. Image events like earth trembling, mountains smoking, winds roaring, rivers running and spreading, tongues of fire touching and connecting, springs of water bubbling up and overflowing. The Bible describes this informing, transforming power of the Spirit in human terms as well. Touch, thought, emotion, language, breath. You see, the Spirit was at work when the psalmist sang prayers of praise and lament to their Creator, Redeemer God. The Spirit was at work when the prophets spoke up about social and political justice and called Israel's leaders and people to spiritual and moral account. The Spirit was at work when Jesus fed the hungry and clothed the needy and taught the seeker and touched the unclean person and healed the sick and loved each and every one that he encountered. The Spirit was at work when Jesus' female followers gathered in the upper room and prayed. And the Spirit was at work when Jesus' male followers stood outside on the balcony and spoke to the Jews gathered on the plaza below. The Spirit was at work when the whole cohort of Jesus' followers, his friends and family and disciples all, when they carried his message and ministry of love to Samaria and Judea and to the far parts of the known world. Just so, the Spirit is present and at work today, here and now. We only have to pay attention to it. If you don't think the Spirit is in you, try holding your breath and and see what happens. Well, a second thought, don't do that. Because I don't want to explain to the paramedics why a whole host of folks passed out in the middle of my sermon. But seriously, we know that breathing is a necessary autonomic action of the body. We can increase or decrease our rate of respiration. But without regular incoming and outflowing breath, we will die. Now, I've learned through meditation and mindfulness training to pay attention to my breath. Maybe we've all learned that by paying attention to our breath, we can center ourselves in this natural repetitive action of the body. And when we do this, breathing becomes more than just a physical process. It can become a way of communing with God, a way of resting and relaxing in God. And we may realize then that we're connected with all creatures who share breath, and we're connected with all of nature as our life breath flows in and out. So this breath is a powerful metaphor for the Spirit of God. But it's not the only one. We also have the metaphor of the dove descending to touch upon Jesus at his baptism. And we have the metaphor of the tongues of leaping fire that descended upon the people gathered in the plaza in Jerusalem on Pentecost. And in this morning's gospel reading, Jesus says, "The Spirit will make of us rivers of living water." Water, another necessary and familiar life-bearing and life-sustaining force. Water, cooling, cleansing, thirst-quenching. When we're hot and tired, dirty or dehydrated, nothing is so precious and satisfying as a drink of water. Jesus knew this from experience, from his time in the wilderness, and also from his way of walking across the open, rugged countryside from town to town as he was preaching and teaching. And so he uses often this metaphor of water to try and convey the satisfaction that comes from consciously grounding one's life in God. You see, water is primordial. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I may not get this quite right, but resulting from the bonding of physical elements of hydrogen and oxygen, water was one of the first compounds on Earth. And from water, the first life forms developed and emerged. The Bible has its own way of giving priority to water. Think back to the creation stories in the book of Genesis. Chapter 1 begins, "In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." This opening image connects water and spirit, water and God, both essential to everything that will come. And then Genesis chapter 2 describes a river running from the Garden of Eden and spreading into four great rivers that will traverse the earth and fill it with nourishment and life. And think of all the roles played in the Bible by water. Think of Moses and the Jews passing safely through the Red Sea as they defied Pharaoh and fled Egypt. Think of the Jews many centuries later sitting in exile by the waters of Babylon and crying out to God to go home and be restored to Israel. And think of John the Baptist preaching repentance and renewal and baptizing people in the River Jordan. So when Jesus says we will become rivers of living water, he has all this history and all these images in his mind. Do we see? Do we hear? Do we understand that the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, is present from beginning to end, from the simplest to the most complex forms of life? And this God, this Spirit, is active in human history. This God, this Spirit, is one with the man Jesus. And though we seldom realize it, this God, this Spirit, is one with us. God, I dare say, is in the very process of evolution and is at the core of human consciousness and contains all possible universes in God's own self. Pentecost stands out because in that moment, in that gathering in the plaza in Jerusalem following Jesus' death and resurrection, in that moment of heightened awareness, everyone's attention was focused on the Spirit as it moved among them. People were tuned in to this informing, transforming power of God at work in their midst. And while some skeptics scoffed and chalked the experience up to too much wine, many more were moved and motivated to live as Jesus had lived and to enjoy their oneness with God and to embody God's goodness and love, God's justice and mercy, God's peace, so that the whole world might be refreshed, restored, and redeemed. Now, I almost titled this sermon, Rivers of Life. But then another image came to me by the Spirit. And so I want to share the image of dance as a metaphor for the Spirit. You see, dance is both a physical and a spiritual act. It involves the whole body moving in response to some audible or some interior music. We can dance alone or we can dance together. We can even dance sitting or lying down, gently swaying in place, nodding our head, tapping our fingers or our feet in time to the music that we hear. Even when we dance alone, this simple, almost instinctive act is transformative. Some energy passes through us. Certain synapses fire in the brain and cause our limbs to move. But whatever the physical activity that's going on, whatever the physical mechanism, dance is more than just a random flailing of the limbs. Dance is organized and rhythmic, and it can be stunningly beautiful, a way of telling a story and a way of expressing the emotions and thoughts that give our lives meaning. Dance, whether private or communal, can be a way of being in touch with God, a way of actively feeling God's presence as we move in step with the Spirit that inspires us. The spiritual communities have known this for centuries, and even today, spiritual communities dance. Go to any of our local ethnic festivals, whether it be Native American, Caribbean, Indian, Greek, Jewish, or Irish, and you will find communities dancing together and connecting in spirit and joy. Lord of the Dance, the hymn we sang this morning. It's a contemporary hymn, but it's set to an older American Shaker tune called The Simple Life. And the Lord of the Dance lyricist who put the words to it. He imagines Jesus is Lord of the cosmic dance between Creator and creation. So like breath and water, the Bible is full of images about dance. Dance being something people do in times of festivity and celebration and commemoration. Dance being a spiritual act of connection and release, refreshment and joy. Psalm 87:7 says, "The singers and dancers alike say, 'All my springs are in you.'" In other words, the spring of living water, the Spirit of God, flows through us and finds expression in our song and our dance. Likewise, Ecclesiastes tells us that in life, there is time to weep and time to laugh, time to mourn and time to dance. Now, children seem to intuitively understand the spirit-filled nature of dance, as they do so many things that we adults, with our overly rational mind, sometimes miss. I was in Starbucks last week and observed three little kids between the ages of 5 and 2.5, I guess, and they were there with their moms. And while the moms were ordering lattes and waiting at the counter for them to be served up, the children were chattering and giggling and spreading their energy throughout the room. And in that short space of time, the oldest little girl reached out her hands and said to the two younger ones, "Take my hands. Let's make a circle and dance." And so they did, much to the delight of all of us there. And a few years back, I was at a church camp with lots of adults and teenagers and children. And there's always a talent show at the end of this week of camp, and people put on skits and plays, and they perform with their instruments, and they sing, and they dance. And one of the teenagers had a condition that had traits of both Down syndrome and autism. And he struggled to connect and communicate, even in this community that loved him so dearly. But when music played, he moved with beauty and grace and delighted the audience, who appreciated his performance. He was the star of the talent show, and he revealed the spirit that was in him to all who saw him dance. And just in the last couple of weeks, I watched a Facebook video that a family friend had posted of her son Eric's high school graduation party. And it was a family party. And the family had come from all over the country together at this community in Texas at the local Elks Club. And on the video, Eric, the graduate, stood in the center of the room, and around the fringes were the tables, and the people were at the tables or standing up near them. And one by one, his family came up to Eric. And he reached out his arms and he embraced them. And then he took them in his arms and they danced. It was just a beautiful experience. And then as I watched, a few more family members came up and they formed a line. And then that line became a circle. And they all danced together. Some in step, some not quite in step. But all who danced and all who watched felt the spirit that was there in that room. And then finally, one last image, one last experience. I learned a few days ago that a friend of mine, also in Texas, a man named Bruce Wood, had suddenly, unexpectedly died of pneumonia and heart failure. Bruce was 53. Few years younger than me, and in the prime of his second career. Bruce's first career was a dancer. At age 16, he had left Fort Worth on a full scholarship to study with George Balanchine at the American Ballet Theater. And after completing his studies, he had danced with the New York City Ballet and the San Francisco Ballet and the Montreal Ballet. And he rose to the position of principal dancer. He was gifted in dance. And then as time went on, Bruce discovered another passion of choreography. And eventually he returned to Texas and he began to choreograph dance. And he established his own dance company, first in Fort Worth, and then some years later in Dallas. And since his death, I have read so many tributes and reviews that relate how Bruce and the Bruce Wood Dance Project brought new spirit and vitality and life to the Dallas arts community. And more importantly, how his work conveyed the deep passions and challenges and meanings of being human and living in community. Now, I don't know the particulars of Bruce's religious faith, but I know it was generous and inclusive and grounded in a sense of the Holy Spirit connecting us all. And Bruce has a new dance that will premiere in 2 days. It'll premiere in Dallas, and it's aptly called Touch. I imagine Bruce, completely in touch with God, arm in arm, face to face, dancing in step, delighting at the love and spirit pervading the room as the dance goes on. And this is how I imagine Jesus on Pentecost, completely in touch with God, delighting in the love shared by his friends and his family and his disciples, charging the atmosphere with energy and expectation. The spiritual connection was so strong that those who came to hear, those who desired understanding, did in fact comprehend what was being communicated. Now, there may be linguistic explanations for how people understood in their own language. Perhaps there were, after all, just a few core languages and different dialects being spoken. Or perhaps these were multilingual people. I mean, this culture was more sophisticated than we often give it credit. But the point, the essential point that Acts is making is one of amazement, one of wonder at the power of the Spirit in their midst. That connecting, unifying spirit, filling the community with purpose and new life. And if words alone don't fully convey that power, that Spirit of God with us brings, the writer of Acts leaves us with that lasting visual impression, that of tongues of fire dancing and touching, connecting, informing and transforming each and every one. The rest is history. The Spirit, my friends, is with us, even in this room. And the Spirit is in the world. We just need to pay attention and understand. For as Paul says, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Praise God, Creator of the universe. Praise Jesus, Lord of the dance and Lord of love. Praise the Spirit, breath of life, liquid refreshment, holy transforming fire. Amen.